My guys, this is another installment of the Heat Zone. Coming in, man. We got a couple good topics to get in on y'all this time. We waited a little nice, little big, so we can gather some more for y'all, but we got our thoughts of the Super Bowl. I know y'all seen our predictions. We posted those, so you know how that went. But, you know, in general, this game, bro, this game, it was a good game.
It was a good game for any football fan that chose to sit and watch it.
Yes.
That's my opinion. The Chiefs squeaked it out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? 3 points.
Easy to me. Like I said in my predictions, I thought that first half was going to be crazy tight, and it was.
Yeah, that's what I said too. It was going to be a back and forth game.
And it really was. I thought the point total would be up a little higher, but the points we've seen, it was good. It was really good.
I figured that the defenses would figure out the offenses faster than the offense would figure out how to get past the defense with Steve Spagnuolo
and stuff like that. And he had a fucking night. Boy,
he definitely called the hell of the game. You know what I mean? So
it was a really good game. I think if we skip right to the real drama of the scenario, I mean, Purdy, okay, you know, okay day. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, okay day, but he even had an interception. So you know what I'm saying?
You gotta count
Purdy the props that he at least kept himself clean. Nothing too crazy on his end. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? So on that side, and like I said, receiver wise, everybody kind of ended up doing what I thought they would do. Travis Kelce ended up coming, you know, showing up. He didn't get over 100 yards, but the pivotal plays that he put in, you know, second half was really good.
Looking at this now, no receiver went over 100.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody really did too much. Even when you go to receivers for San Francisco, McCaffrey was the hottest. You know what I'm saying? And he had 160, I guess you go both ways, you feel me? And he had a touchdown on one side.
Yeah.
So I mean, you look and you go, this was a back and forth teeter totter. Nobody did too much. Mm-hmm. But truly, if you get to the crucial part, was this new playoff rule.
Exactly.
And then what they decided to do, bro. You know?
Yeah, that was the time.
Now I want your opinion on this because I'm not gonna say that the opposite version of what they're saying is not the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get the ball and you go if you win the coin toss, you choose not to, you give them the ball and you basically go last because of this new format, meaning each team get a chance to score.
Well, yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying that I think that's the only way this can go. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I think that it can go that the way that they chose, they ended up choosing, you could go that route if you think your defense is strong enough like that.
Yeah.
Do I think that they should have chose that? No, I think they should have flipped it.
Yeah.
But I think as in the rule, I think that I could see a team going the opposite way.
I mean, I could see you going the opposite way just to see what you got to match. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like what energy you got to match as far as scoring a field goal or a touchdown or whatever the case may be. But I think they should have kept it that whoever scores the touchdown first wins.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying? So that way, whoever gets the ball first, if their offense is not held to a 3-and-out or kicking a field goal, if they get the opportunity to win a game right there, that's what it's about.
We already
in an extra quarter anyway.
I agree on that. Because I do agree that the ending on just the field goal, neither team, you know, only one team getting to get the kick a field goal and then they go. I do agree on that part.
Yeah.
Because that's.
It should be a touchdown.
It should be a touchdown.
Your offense should have to score a touchdown and your defense should have to stop a touchdown.
Yeah.
If they do it, then your offense gets the ball and you know, the vice versa rules go for y'all. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like it gave Kansas City definitely an extra chance to put together an offensive drive, which helps them win the game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, that's under the rules that everybody signed on for, I guess, before the game started.
I agree. To me, I think there's no other way around changing that factor, that's the rule, that's the rule.
Yeah.
So I think that, your final play would be to know what you'd have to get to win, mm-hmm. especially since they can score a touchdown and you can score a touchdown and it still can go another round again. So
have you seen the video, not to bring any conspiracy things into, mm-hmm. have you seen the video where supposedly the clock was changed?
I did see that.
Do you think that's internet trickery, or do you think that that's...
if I didn't only see that one person, then I would say that. I see multiple people that said it.
Because I was watching the game, but I can't say that in that time frame I was watching the clock or whatever.
Exactly, and that's what I tried to go back to when they rewinded. I tried to remember that moment and remember if I was watching strong enough to like remember that part
that happened,
and I wasn't catching up, and so they could have got me by immediately saying it after that point and kind of not really seeing the little step before and missing that little piece. But I've seen it multiple times, and so I haven't seen it. Like, the reason why I'm still sketchy on it is because other than that, that's the only place I've seen it.
That's why I said I don't know
Stephen A. somebody
would have broke into it or something right now. But I mean, media works for
Work for the bigger picture too.
So it's like
Yeah, you I agree. So I kind of it's kind of
it like, just was interesting to me to see because I'm like, oh, I wasn't paying attention that close to even be noticing if that did or didn't happen. And now for somebody to bring this up to have it on video, multiple people, as you said, it's like
I didn't just see that one clip. I seen another clip that pointed out that same thing, so that's what made me go, whoa. I just didn't tape it. I didn't do none of that, so I can't.
I don't have no direct playback right now for me to just go back and look at it.
So,
only evidence I have of it is that
it's exactly the same. I mean, to me, the only other person who should get a highlight is Chris Jones. Like, he single-handedly towards that in that overtime, made a couple things go the way they needed it to go.
Definitely.
For them to get out of there.
Pacheco had a couple hard first down. He didn't put up a lot of big numbers,
but in the later
parts of the game, he put up a couple first downs that really helped him sustain some drives.
Yeah, to me, very key right when it needed to be. Neither offense really
overly did anything.
To me, I think San Francisco had a cleaner game.
Yeah, they did.
So you would have assumed that it would have went their way a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it actually did pretty much the whole thing. It's just Mahomes put through a couple magic drives towards the end of the game that made it a little bit closer, which in turn got
there was a couple missed calls also.
To me as well. That I think the favor a little bit their way
that's one of the momentum of the game.
As they always say, the NFL script sometimes I see little things that make, other than just what you're talking about, the conspiracy that they have out there. Those are some of the things that make me still think about the NFL script, they say, that exists out here in this.
I mean, it's entertainment at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, you got to keep it going. Yeah. I mean, I think that would, to me, I think that drive definitely showed, the new rule. It showed that also even that the other team, that the 49ers weren't as prepared.
No.
Because
I say like the special teams, the special teams didn't really put them in good field position too many times. They more was like lackadaisical, but they didn't figure out how to move the ball ahead so that Purdy and them didn't have such a hard long field to deal with.
That didn't happen.
That was a hard,
especially in the second half. They just couldn't put it together. It was strong. And when they did, it wasn't as much. And then the overtime, the pressure would have been to score a touchdown.
They
definitely had a couple little moments in there that had possibilities to me in that little drive in there that caused them their own mistakes.
Yeah.
So, they had a chance.
Definitely had a chance.
But like you said earlier, it was a good, good game.
And the injury to it's breaking. Things slipping my mind right now. The linebacker for San Fran, that was a big momentum change too for them.
Yes, it definitely was. And he didn't even get out there to do his thing, but that was truly definitely a crazy momentum changer, man. So, we can't wait keep you guys, going when the draft comes around and see how everything is looking. But, me, the big Bears fan, I'm definitely going to keep you guys
posted on that. Me as a Giants fan, we will be talking about the draft.
Yeah, so we're going to bring you around in the draft.
The New York Giants, we need to make something happen.
You feel me? The Bears, y'all need to figure this out. I mean, I'm really a Justin Fields fan. But hey, I know, you know, let's figure it out.
Let's get it together. I did see some news about him. Did they?
Yeah, they said that Justin Fields. They said Justin Fields. He minused every all the Bears things on his Instagram, and he followed all of the Falcons. And the Falcons is a team that can pick them up. It is a team. So we'll see. Let's see how it goes. I mean, I know the Bears. To me, I wouldn't mind. I don't mind them trading because we can get a better haul in and pick up some more. Because we need more things than just a quarterback. You know what I mean? So, you know what I'm saying? I could definitely see it. If we could trade down or make some maneuvers to do something, or at least trade him and get a few picks, some picks in or something like that, I'd be with it because we definitely need a lot. So we'll see how it goes, but we'll definitely keep you guys up. The next big thing is a little bit of off-season free agent stuff that's going to be happening, but most of everything is going to be going right close to us with draft. I could see it very tight this year being that. Next, man, we had the All-Star game, man. I mean, bro, I got to watch pretty much all of the All-Star weekend, and I don't know if you got to go dive in, but the All-Star game was just nothing but points, bro.
Nothing but scoring, bro.
Like,
no defense.
Like, you know, we grew up, or at least I know we got to watch competitive All-Star games. You know, Kobe years, this Jordan years, the Magic years. Like, this was definitely a bit of an embarrassment on for the All-Star game of the NBA. It was like almost 400 points, bro.
Wow.
Almost 400.
Yeah, because I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Almost 400 points. Dame Lillard took the MVP. Okay. He had 38.
Okay.
It was just scoring the
whole
way.
It was just one big highlight
reel. Yeah, just one big highlight reel. Wow. It was definitely
enjoyable to watch, or did it get to the point where it was just like, I'm just...
You know why? There was a few, you know, good dunks and alley-oops and stuff. So, you know, it was things to watch. You know, it's your favorite players, you know, big stars, everyone out there on the court.
Yeah.
But no, it was not competitive enough besides that last little bit because you just want to see which side's going to win. But it wasn't as far as in what you want to see with basketball. They could have just played 25. Like, I'll say it like this. In any All-Star game I've seen that I would say that was competitive, the players were only playing like good about 50% good defense. And then right when it got down to a couple, like, you know, the tight possessions, they put maybe went to a 75 or 100 by one person just to make a save a play and this and that. But 50% on defense. You seen no defense out here this whole time, nothing. So it was very like.
So nobody wanted to get crossed or
like few things happened, but yes, exactly that. Nobody wanted to get done up. Nobody was wanting to get done up. So
nobody
that
wanted
was,
to be a highlight. Really.
That was horrible. But you know, to me, the biggest highlight of the weekend was Steph against Sabrina.
The three point.
It lived up to it. She had 26. Steph ended up with 28, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
She had 26 in the men's 3-point. Dame won it with 26.
Wow.
So she could have damn near took the, you know what I'm saying? And that was the high. Nobody got above 26 and even in the other earlier rounds.
Okay.
So she could have competed with the, you know, and she shot NBA 3-point line.
And
she pushed it. She made Curry. Curry went last. If Curry would have went first, she messed around and would have got him.
Yeah, but he would have been. But it was a vote. Taking it
It was a vote on who went first, and the vote went that Curry went last. Mm-hmm. I mean, that she went first.
Okay.
So, it was kind of a part of the competition part as well too.
Because they put on like an LCD court or something.
Yeah, it was, bro. The court thing was really cool. Yeah. Now that I'm not gonna lie, the court was out of the most highlight of the whole thing.
Okay.
The court was interesting, and I think if they could figure out if the feeling is good for the players, for an experience for the fan, I think
they should add it.
I think that should be something that should be looked into after a while.
You think just playoff or regular season and playoff?
You know what I would say? I would say
just finals.
That's what I was about to say. I would say finals. I'd say the in-season tournament thing, the way they was doing it. I'd say like the in-season tournament final.
Okay.
Do it for that.
Okay.
And then do it for the All-Star game again, I guess, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe like, I wouldn't even mind them saying maybe like 1-2 games in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like the first game. Maybe first, third, and seventh, if you go set. You know, like something like that.
So
it's a special thing for those pivotal games, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it would be a fan something to even look
to get and look
to.
They could do a little bit.
And the players.
Yeah, there was a lot of things they were able to do with the floor, the tracking, and you could, you know, things like that. That to me, a fan being a little bit higher up, the fact that you can get a little bit, maybe a, when you see a drive, you can see a drive happen and see the streak of the movement of the drive a little bit
it
more.
Might it might help people understand the game more,
and
too.
Understand like, plays.
Oh, okay, I see what they did there. And I didn't, you know, exactly. Some people, they just watching. They just seeing the ball go past.
Yes, to me,
they
I
don't
think
understand the method.
I think it could be a definite additive to it. And that out of the whole weekend, that was the best thing that I seen. Like I said, the best event was Steph against Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dunk contest was a dud.
You know,
it was a mediocre. The dude who won, he won last year. He was from the G League.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown was like one of their only real big NBA players to kind of be in.
Okay.
And he's not, he's known as a decent game dunker, like with some power dunks in, but not no, like, he's not like a, you know, alley-oop between
trickery,
the legs,
yeah.
trickery type of cat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have been interesting to see some more cats that you see to do those kind of in-game dunks be in this tournament. This is what the NBA needs to figure out. One, how to hype the All-Star game up. Everyone says that the All-Star game is to just give them some more money that they'll go. But I'm like Adam Silver. They give these dudes money for every goddamn thing. So they, the end season, they're like, they got enough money. Like, they should, it should be something that has something they could figure out that can make it, to make it a little bit more competitive. I don't know what it could be. I liked, because now, I'll say this now more than ever, I like the U.S. versus to Europe. The reason why I like it is because it, the competitiveness about
the culture
can come in and will create that level of playing a little more defense.
The same way it happens even like in boxing and soccer. And stuff
yeah,
like
if
that,
Europe blows us out 2 years in a row, that third year, the players is going to start playing some defense because it's going to get talked about.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And then vice versa.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So I do think that part of the format is needed, maybe. Other than that, giving them more money, I don't think it's gonna do it. Maybe it will. If it's so big to me, they talk about $1 million per player. Maybe I think that'll be something that'll do it. But we talk about, I think each side is like 12 players. So that's 12. I mean, it's not like this is that much money. NBA got millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, they're not losing any money by doing this.
It's an extra 20.
So if you say that, then I think, yeah, players will get up off their feet. For every player, they'll definitely put their all in, because that's an extra million they weren't earning. They can get that, you know, mid-season. They can get out to these families been asking for money. All, you know, it's all kinds of things they can break $1 million down for after they tax for their city or whatever the fuck. So, I mean, I think that the possibilities is endless to do it, but they need to find something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be something else.
Yeah.
And then also the dunk contest. They got to find a way to get...
You have to put defense incentives in, I think. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Something
a
like
a certain
that.
Amount of blocks, a certain amount. It can't just be all offensive incentives.
Exactly. To me, that would be great. If you get three blocks in the joint, you get a bonus of this. Or
yeah.
Something like that, especially for players that are getting put on.
Put bonus incentives in up to $1 million for everybody.
Exactly.
You know,
something like that. Gets you, you know, you something that makes it worth the while. I can see that definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The dunk contest has to be improved. Figuring out how to get players to want to be involved.
I think they said the issue with that is that exactly what you just said. Like, a lot of players don't want to, you know, be involved in a dunk contest for whatever reason. I don't know if it's financial. If it's
I don't, from what I know, I don't think they get a lot of money either. So I do think that that's something. I think that's something they could raise it up for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a bit of a thing, and I think maybe going, I think the formatting maybe too. To me, three chances at a dunk, like the old school way, was also a good way. I think something like that maybe too, switching up. But find a way, even if it's coming to the best dunkers. Like, say we have a top 10 dunk thing on the NBA thing, you know, during the midseason. If it's six players on that list, you come to them and say, hey, we'll give you all $1 million if you just be in the competition.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that makes it worth that. Each of them, even if the embarrassment of not winning, they're all getting $1 million.
Yeah.
If it was me and then the winner maybe get 1.5 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, that makes it, you know, a lot of more stars and a lot of more even young stars who are good dunkers would even try.
Join the game,
you know, would even try. Because of these rookie contracts, they get money, but they're not getting as much as LeBron's getting.
Yeah, his
12 years. So, you know, even though he's the number one draft, he getting the extra $1 million that year, you know, in the year
it's
for
gonna help.
It's gonna help.
Getting the extra $1 million to help anybody in here.
Exactly. No matter who, it don't matter who it is. So, you know, on that, the other competitions were decent. So overall, All Star Weekend, I thought was
did they do the rookie versus sophomore?
Yeah, they did a like rising stars or something. It's basically like that, a rookie versus sophomore, the rookies versus a rising stars or something like that.
Okay.
But it was, that game was even a lot better. That game was even more
competitive.
More competitive.
I would see it being
the celebrity
of the
game was
the
even
players.
More competitive. Like, the whole other parts of the weekend was good. It being in Indianapolis, I think, was probably, if anything was a bummer, that would be the bummer. I'm an Indiana, you know, person. So I love that they brought it there. It helps the city, it helps small cities and small states, you know, smaller states get, you know, a little bit more. I think it's in New Orleans. Yeah, I think so. Get more income into those cities and into those states. So I think that part is good. But, you know, it just happened to be a snow blizzard the first couple of days, so it blew it a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
But I think overall, you know, everybody was still okay with that. That wasn't that big of a deal. I think it was just some of the events not being as great as you'd hope they would be. That's the thing. So work on the All-Star game.
Definitely.
And work on the dunk contest, the NBA. And
yeah, dunk contest used to be crazy. Like when Mike and Spud Webb.
Yeah, it used to be the highlight of the whole. Yeah.
And all of them used to be
used to be the highlight. Like, it's not the highlight anymore. It hasn't been for a while, too. So it's not even like it's just this year. It hasn't been for a while.
And do you think is that there's no new dunks, basically? Like, you know, like if you get what I'm saying. We basically the last
like weird or different, real different dunks that I seen from like All-Star, like from that thing, was when Blakeman was jumping over the cars. Mm-hmm. You remember?
Yeah.
And that was cool. It was still like, and we still had stars in it.
Gotcha.
So even though, like, to me, like, even though some of the stars are still doing some of these classic dunks, like the between the leg, boom, 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 the fact that you see them doing it and how good, how tight they can do it.
How easily they swift with the ball.
Yeah, to me, I'm with it. I'm not necessarily that tripping that they don't come with a brand new amazing dunk that we've never seen before. Can you still do it? I see that there's still creators doing it. These guys that are just dunkers, they do it all the time. They do it, tap the backboard. There's mad new dunks and stuff, ways to do dunks. But I'm not even mad at looking at LeBron attempt to do it between the leg, boom, 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 because it's LeBron James. Like, you've seen him do amazing dunks before. To see him doing just show dunks, to me, would be, like, great.
It's you know still a show. Yeah, I get what you're
saying. It's still a show. So I wouldn't be mad that he maybe didn't win, or, you know, as long as it was 3-4 competitively,
something to watch.
It would be worth the battle, you know, the whole thing. But to see, like, this new one that just happened, I had to give it to the dude who was a G League. He has some clean ass dunks and do it. I was happy that Jaylen Brown attempted to do dunks and to be in the dunk contest, but he just wasn't strong enough. And if we'd have maybe like two more other people, I would have said, you know what, because all three of them tried it, they may have not been the greatest dunkers. The dunks may have been, you know, had those. It was good because this guy did great dunks. He did new dunks. He was a former champion as well. So I'll give him this spot for winning. But at least it was more competitive. It wasn't even competitive. The kid was just, the dunks he did was way better. And they weren't even that great, but they were way better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he just out-dunked him.
He just out-dunked him. So that was a done deal. Other than that, I say everybody's ready and fresh coming back from the break. I mean, I can give you a quick short rundown. We've gotten the papers here. You see how dominant Boston is, you know what I'm saying? 43 wins. 12 losses. It's just, is Boston going to get it done? You know what I'm saying?
Can they sustain it?
Can they sustain it? They got the rest of the second half. We got 30-something games here left. You know what I'm saying? Second half of the season, I think it is. Let's see, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see if they can sustain it. You know, as you can look on the Eastern Conference, though, look who's in second, the Cavs. I know that you haven't been following as strong as I have, but everybody in America, you know, knows this Cavs team is decent, but it's nowhere, you know, it's nowhere compared to what's going on with Milwaukee Bucks with having Giannis and having Dame.
Nah.
So that is the reason why it's a big controversy on the East. You know, they just put Doc in as a coach over there with the Bucks, and they're like 3-7, bro. Like, Doc still hasn't figured out how to switch it around.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know if it's going to come out. They're going to stay in that top tier. They're going to be 2 or 1. Who knows? I'm not, you know, that's to finish the season off. But they're going to stay in the top tier. They're going to be in the top 3-4% seed in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they should be, hopefully.
I'm calling a whitewash this year on the Bucks. I'm thinking next year is their year, personally, as far as in they get a year to get this, you know, Dame, get everything.
They need some cohesiveness.
Yeah, they haven't got it. And I think they maybe even need to find another teammate or two to add in to make this real spark that they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my, you know, mid-season prediction is that the Bucks ain't going to get. I think maybe conference, possibly, but conference championships. But I don't think they're going to
take it all away.
I do feel even that. Funny enough, the Knicks and Philly.
I was about to ask you, like, how you feel if the Knicks could continue to minimize through the season, how you think they end up?
I think, bro, they just need to get healthy now. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Like, I seen what I needed to see from them.
Yeah.
That let me know that if they added like, I think one or two more of the little pieces right at the trade deadline. I can't remember who they added right off head, but they added one little piece right at the trade deadline as well, other than Ananobi that they got at the beginning of the trade opening. Bro, Jalen Brunson ain't playing.
Nah, he's coming up.
And all they really need is a consistent, consistent Randle. Mm. Because they've added these other pieces, mm-hmm. now they just need Randle to just be consistent.
Yeah.
And the thing that I think he's picked up is realizing that because of the pieces they've added and because of how secure Jalen Brunson is about doing what he do, mm-hmm. Randle has finally realized, okay, I can sustain having a bad scoring game.
Exactly.
But I can't. But I can't let it fuck up my defense mm-hmm. and my attitude in the team. Mm-hmm. That's what I've seen from him.
Yep, I got to sustain my energy for the team.
That's what I've seen from him.
Because he got a leader role. So it's like at the end of the day, sometimes it's not what you do on the court. It's what you're doing off the court.
Yeah, I've seen in the games that I've seen since they got the few pieces and all that, that's what I've seen a bit more from Randle. Mm-hmm. And it's made even the jail and even these standout games we've seen from Jalen happen. Mm-hmm. Because Jalen's realized he's had to pick. I got to pick. I'm going in.
Yeah.
Pop, and he drops the points that's needed. Mm-hmm. 50. He's gonna get it because he don't have the. He can get a bucket. Randle can get a bucket, but sometimes they can get a defender on him that can make those buckets a little bit harder.
Difficult.
And to me, his defense is unwavering. That's what Kobe loved about him. Mm-hmm. Those things that he can't let get one-sided by not scoring the way he needed.
Yeah.
In previous teams, I agree. When he started to not score, the Knicks was going to struggle.
Yeah, definitely.
But now, with the team that they have around, with the pieces that they have,
he's got pieces that can come in and add that value.
And now he can just focus on getting those rebounds, playing that defense when a night's not that good on the scoring. Because he's going to, as long as he stays that way, he's going to still get you 10 or 20 plus points.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It may not be 20 like he needs to be giving you, 20 something, you know, like it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But he's going to give you that 12, 15,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, but he gave you 10 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
It feels me, and got a block shot or two.
Yeah.
And kept the defense honest. And right. You know what I'm saying? Right. To me, that's where he's needed. All every game, mm-hmm. all day.
And he knows when to catch a foul.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's
you don't catch it. You don't catch it to put you on the line. You catch it before that.
So exactly. Like, he knows how to even kind of sometimes wake up again from getting on the foul line as his end. So it's like, I think he's finally realized, you know, a little bit more of that. And maybe it's because he finally has the players around to realize they needed more from him previous. You know, and now with having Jalen and having a few more of the pieces, he's able to do what he can do best and dominate strong in there, and then now be the shining light as well. To me, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm riding, just even my early predictions, I'm predicting that the Knicks is going to get to that conference finals. I'm predicting it's going to be them in Boston there. My thing that's going to make it weird is the seedings. When the seedings get locked in is where they fall. And that's why I say the Bucks are a big player in that.
Yeah, definitely.
With the fact that they're leaving, letting, you know, the Cavs push up heavy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only reason why the Knicks aren't up, I'm going to give you the real key, is because the Knicks got Randle was injured for a couple, been injured for a little bit.
Yeah.
Brunson's been injured for a little bit. They have, and one more other player has been injured all on the bench at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won even through a bit of these game five, or four, five, six game stretch during this without these people even as well. But they just haven't won enough. You know what I'm saying? So they fell back a couple of games from them being in second pretty much a little bit before. I think even one of our last episodes, they were in second. I think we even talked.
I think so, maybe.
So, you know, I think they're going to, once everybody's healthy, they're going to push back up to there. Other than that, on the East, Indiana's also, I think the moves that they just made gives them a chance to challenge. You know, I think they have a hot hand.
To make a run.
If Haliburton gets healthy the way he needs to for these last few games and gets in and plays at least the last 20 games solid, they have that kind of hot hand where, they can get hot and make somebody a little shaky in the playoffs.
Got
you know what I'm saying? And they're not going to be a play-in team. They're going to be in the play-in playoffs. Yeah. So that's why I think it's good. The play-in teams, you know, the Hawks, all of these, they're gonna have a hard sense, you know, getting against some of these teams. Cause they look, it's Philly. Like Cleveland's to me the shakiest one. Mm-hmm. Somebody whoever gets, that's the shakiest team, and they're actually not bad.
No, they're not bad. It's just I don't know if they got the
playoff. Yeah, they got a lot of young squad. Seven games, five games. I mean, it's all series of seven. Seven game series. I think these, you know, the top tier teams in the East are gonna break them. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna break them. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? That's just, to me, I think that's just hard. They're not gonna beat that. Now, if we swing over to the West, though, it's the same kind of weird struggle over in the West with the Timberwolves holding number one right now.
Yeah, well,
you know what I'm saying? Everybody's there, the young team, and then second is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm-hmm. These are both two young teams, the two young, great teams in the NBA. The Timberwolves got Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. The Oklahoma City Thunder got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Gotcha.
Both of these two players have skyrocketed up. They're both damn near could be, you could even put them in Shai for sure in the MVP combo.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards is definitely climbing up there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Has been doing enough to be in there. The Clippers is really everybody's thinking mm-hmm. that the Clippers is gonna be a solid, you know, a real solid test over there. I'm for sure about it. Like what I've seen from them, they got Harden, they got George.
I did see a couple games with the Clippers. Their defense is kind of like,
yeah, they got Harden, George, and Kawhi, mm-hmm. and they got it to work. Mm-hmm. They finally got it to work. And they've been dominant. They're the best on the best winning streak. Even though they're third, mm-hmm. they were so low, you know, from the first half and, you know, getting everything together. That they've been on a hot streak, so they've kind of skyrocketed up. So I'm figuring they're going to be, to me, I think they're closely, it depends on how hard the Timberwolves stay at this one seed. I can't remember who has the hardest schedule coming up. So if it stays in this format mm-hmm. where these two young teams are dominant in this joint, I think, bro, it's going to be a feast versus famine as far as in these big brolic teams getting into the seven game series. These teams are going to get shook this first playoff of being like a high seed.
Because it's going to be a fast.
Because you're going to look, bro, in these bottom seeds here, you got Golden State and the Lakers. Now, I'm not saying, I know everybody's, you know, funny about the Lakers, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? But to be honest, you put the Lakers in a seven game series against somebody, bro, you're not getting out of that easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's some teams that's going to get out easy.
Yeah.
But not every team's getting out of that just easy. Nah, you know what I'm saying? Because LeBron can shake
still,
and bake
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, that's still LeBron and that's still the Lakers. And
to me, the pivot on the West, the teams that are questionable, I won't say questionable, the teams that you should be worried about are sneaky, is the Nuggets, defending champs, mm-hmm. you feel me? And the Suns with Kevin Durant, Booker over there, and Bradley Beal.
That's what I was about.
That right there.
That's a little component of
that right there.
That could shock you and surprise you. And they got a lot of age over there that know how to, you know, get through the moments of adversity and stuff and shit like that. So
exactly. To me, an easy play for them to just, you know, catch wind towards the
playoffs. I think the Western Conference is more, it got like more, I'll say, sauce in it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It needs to be figured out.
Yeah. Like,
you
know, and the teams are, it's like you can't, you, like to me, I can't guarantee you who's going to take these.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that these young teams, I feel like aren't going to, this isn't that year for them.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the year of experience, the year to say, wow, it was like that in there, they did it like that.
Definitely might run into a buzz.
Yeah, I think they're going to run into a buzz. So mm-hmm. But I think that the easiest conference that you can kind of see a couple of dominant teams to me is the East.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Knicks doing what they did, I thought I knew. And I, like I said, that's why from what I see, what the Knicks got, I think they're going to be just a big surprise over there in the East.
It definitely comes down to it. It's just like, can y'all maintain that?
Yeah, can they do it?
You know what I mean? To keep that going.
To me, that Jalen Brunson trade, to me, was still, like, I watched that playoff before he got traded to the Knicks.
If they bring the title to New York,
bro,
New York is going to go.
Bro, if they can get to the finals, New York is going out of control.
Yeah.
The conference finals is definitely going to make them go out of control. They're going to go out of control. But if they can get to the finals, bro.
Yeah.
Because this is what I will tell you. I think Boston is a very good team. They've shown their dominance last year and have shown that they're carrying it over into this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them. They look beat. They beatable. Mm-hmm. They are beatable. Mm-hmm. So seven
game
series.
I don't really see nobody up here that's, you know what I mean, that's like, like if anybody stepped on the court with them, it's just an automatic blowout.
Yeah, to me, I don't see that. And to me, the only even team I see in the West that I feel gives me that type of feeling at times is the Nuggets, because they just any given day, when they want to put their head down, they do win.
Yeah, they start clicking.
They click like, and they like win. That, yeah. So I was like, I know once playoffs go, you got to look at them differently. They've won the title already, and they know how to turn it on.
They might be, you know, they might just be maintaining to keep a certain record.
I think that's what
they're
doing.
Pushing their energy too
much. I think that's what they're doing. Because that's how they, even their year that they won, they weren't like this number one team. Mm-hmm. Like so they, you know, everybody was just knew that they was good and that mm-hmm. they had, you know, they were a great team and that they were going
to,
you know, make
it. That might be an element of surprise to be a creeper.
To me, I think that could definitely be the element of surprise, bro. So, I mean, it's still a little break this Thursday. Hopefully, this should drop. I'm almost a guarantee we're going to get it dropped either that Thursday. There'll be some new games coming up, but this is your, you know, your top tiers for sure right now, and then we got 30 games or so left, so you know this will be what really happens, you know, for the final joint. And then because of the way they do the play-in, you know,
15
now,
days is crucial.
Yeah, the way they do the play-in is definitely going to be fun. I like how they do the little couple game, you know, to get you in, so it'd be good. Also too, we're going to come on and, you know, and preview at the least, you know, the NCAA tournament, and at least see what you guys, you know, drop on. We may have to bring in a couple more guests that are a little bit more solid in and get us in on that. I've been keeping up on it, but it's not the NCAA isn't as strong, man, as I used to like it. Yeah. When, you know, saying as far as in
I used to be.
Yeah, with the basketball. Football still holds a nice
football,
wave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely. Next year we're gonna come around heavy with y'all on that. But basketball, they've been tripping a little bit on it. So we're gonna keep you up on that, man. And you know what I'm saying, let you know, man. Other than that, man, it's been a whirlwind over here in the boxing ranks, bro.
The boxing world,
the boxing world, bro. They've been keeping it talk going. I think you cut that. Yeah, you cut that phase there too. But the boxing world been keeping this joint, like keeping the talks and keeping the joints moving, bro. And I've been interested to see what you think. Like I watched, you know, saying some good little stuff that came, you know, the top ranks that they put on, you know, top ranks.
Top ranks.
I love it. This one starter. I don't know your opinion. Top rank not doing many pay per views. What do you like or do you not like this?
They have their own version of like a pay per view, which is ESPN Plus.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. To me, the ESPN Plus.
But what I do like about it, they don't put the main fights on the ESPN Plus so that everybody could view it. Which I think what they're doing is they're running up they're trying to get into the streaming aspect as much as Bob Arum can understand being 100 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So I think that's what that is. But Bob Arum definitely has a lot of fighters that I enjoy watching fight, especially being a boxing, you know, fan or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So, like, we can start right here. Like, Shushu.
Yeah,
I've been watching Shushu for, you know, for a while now.
Yeah.
And they need to put him against better competition.
This is what I was gonna say. That fight was so quick. It was, and he looked good. But I said that
I did like the uncomfortability that dude did apply to him the first like round and a half.
Exactly.
And then I seen the adjustment. And once he made the adjustment,
it was done.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we about to go down that road. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was like, pow! I didn't even expect that shot.
This is what I was about to say. I didn't expect that shot, but I could see one coming. I could see the hook coming,
but I thought he was going to finish him with a body shot and then an overhand. I didn't see him just being able to catch him with that quick inside.
Exactly.
Hook.
The way it happened, I definitely didn't expect that. Yeah. But I definitely expected something to happen.
But Shushu definitely needs to go in there against better competition because he's ready. You know what I'm saying? He's ready.
Yeah.
And it's going to show him, you know what I'm saying,
I'm surprised. I think this is, I feel like I've seen him fight before. But maybe, you know what I'm saying, because I've watched a lot of the top rankings because I'm a big ESPN, you know what I'm saying, person. So I got the plus and I got both. But, this was the first time I got to really watch one, and I was like, "Yo!" I said the same thing. I'm like, "I think they need to up his, you know,
definitely needs better competition."
Because I don't know if I'm seeing. I feel like I'm seeing what I'm seeing, but the competition.
That's the only thing I don't like about Top Rank is that their level of competition peaks kind of fast. If you get what I'm saying,
yes.
Like you're gonna fight a lot of like people that's like considered journeymen, or they're like. Supposed gatekeepers to certain next levels, but they're not really like you know, the names that's going to build up these guys. Like, if Shushu catches that knockout on somebody with a name that's in, like, the top 15.
Now we're talking.
We're really talking.
Yeah, now we're talking.
This guy, Oshaki Foster. Oshaki Foster, that dude is a problem. Like, he can really, you know, he got dog in him. Like, you know what I'm saying? He really could dig deep. He really could box. He really can.
Those are two good fight. Yeah,
real adjust. Fight and he fought damn near that whole fight, you know, with his arm injured because the old boy went to block and he hit him with the elbow.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I believe his hand was hurting before the fight. You know what I mean? But a lot of boxers don't really go into that because they don't want to handicap it. To his last fight, he was down on the scorecards and he went back to the corner for the 12th round. You know, he said what he was going to do. He went out there and he did it. He knocked the boy out. You know what I mean? So it's like, he needs, you know what I mean, like more kind of publicity to me too. You know what I mean? But I could see how they're trying to build him up. But like, just to me, top ranked level of competition is not as strong as it should be in certain aspects, especially for like some of these guys. Like some of these guys is ready for the, you know, for pay-per-view events and stuff like that. Maybe not main events, but they ready for pay-per-view.
Exactly.
But let me see what else we got. We got
yeah, they had a little opening info over there.
I know that we got we can talk about this right here. We got Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia finally signed on.
Yeah, so I was gonna say finally signed because I remember we did mention it last, but they finally signed.
Yeah, out in Vegas. You know,
420?
Yeah, they fighting on 420 in Vegas.
Ooh.
I'll actually be in Vegas that day. So. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting fight for me because I personally feel with them having the 3-3 split in the amateurs or whatever, I know amateur boxing is a little bit different. It doesn't translate over into pros, but it does in a way. So I feel like each one of them has each other's calling card. Now my thing is who has developed more skill over the years? Who's had the harder rounds?
And I think this is a better matchup.
Yeah.
Than what was that? Garcia with what's his name? With
Tank.
Yeah, than Tank. Not that I thought Tank had the up on it. I just think this is a better of an even in match. Like what each other can do to each other, and the mental, actual boxing.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting.
Yeah. The Tank and Ryan fight was more strategic than I think people seen. But at the same time, I agree with you. This has to be a technically sound fight on both sides. Ryan has to be defensively sound. He has to be offensively clicking. Devin has to do the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, this should shape out to end up being a real good fight. And then with all of the background stories, and I don't know if you've seen the first little press conference, they brought them together. It was the whole fight and the shove and the choke and whatever the case may be. So that's you know, that's interesting
little stories in the back.
We're excited here to you know, to see what happens and transpires with that fight. So we'll definitely bring y'all an update on that one when it transpires. The next thing we got, I know my man, like I said, Shushu, he won a decision over Nova.
Yeah.
That actually was a good fight too. Nova was trying to apply the pressure. He really went for it or whatever the case may be. He honestly feels like he won the fight. I personally feel like it was a close fight. It was a split decision.
Either way
that you want to look at it, I won't give my opinion on who I feel won, really, the case may be. I just feel like they had different contrast and styles that made a good fight. You know what I'm saying?
It made a good fight, and I didn't mind the split. I didn't see it that dominant myself. But I will say, it was one card that was a little strange.
It was definitely like that right now in boxing for some reason. That's why they're trying to review what's going on with these judges, because it's either the positioning of the judges, they're not getting the total sight of the fight, or they're going in there with favoritism.
Exactly. I think both of those are exactly what you're talking about.
And the problem is too, if you're fighting for the WBC, they have their own rules of what they're judging on. So it might be like aggression, defense, this and this. The IBF might be something else. It might be speed. It's just different things that they, you know, kind of are. So that's why you see certain people, you know, when they unify or something, it's like even a big deal. It's like, because he done won on all bases of boxing. It's not just for this, this, and this.
This is true.
So, Next, let me see. So, shout out to all the Shocky Foster for that. Part of the language.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah. That's top divisions. That's the divisional one. I think it was up here, but I just printed this out. This
time. All right. Yeah, so we go from here. All right. So next we got.
First window is the homie, by the way.
Yeah, Shushu.
Nah, it was actually. They just were talking about it, but it gave that deeper. Here we go. Yeah, that's actually the start. For some reason, it didn't print that first.
Like, oh yeah, because it's Tyson Fury versus Usyk, but they about to fight each other. All right, so we just cut.
Yeah.
So the next up, we got the Tyson Fury versus Oleksandr Usyk fight, which was postponed due to Tyson Fury suffering a bad cut in sparring. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
No.
He was in sparring. He got caught with an inside hook. The glove went off of his face, and he got hit with an elbow. Very bad. I think he needed about maybe 16 staples or stitches or whatever they said to close up the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But that builds up, like cartilage damage over there. So they had to push that fight back to May 18th. But it is still due to go, and I believe they are fighting in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, or somewhere like that, in that region.
That's crazy.
After that, we got Anthony Joshua on March 8th against Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Which I personally feel like this fight might go about 8 or 9 rounds. And if Anthony Joshua is not careful, I could see him getting clipped with a shot, like, really. I mean, I believe Anthony Joshua, I know Anthony Joshua is a better boxer.
That's what I was about to say.
He's a way better boxer. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is the way that Ngannou fights, he fights with a very delayed, hook, mm-hmm. which will catch you off pattern as you're coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Same way he kind of caught Tyson Fury. So long as Anthony Joshua can survive the big shots, I'll say, I don't see him getting outboxed.
And this thing that's been getting me about this is that Ngannou is getting big fights here.
Yeah, like he came in already at the top tier of the heavyweight division.
Yes.
So anybody that he fights like really under this is not going to. Like, I don't know how they're going to build up his fights after this.
Yeah.
Unless he's fighting, like, a Deontay Wilder, and then it's just a knockout factor.
Yeah.
But if he's fighting, maybe, like, a Joseph Parker.
Yeah.
It's the knockout factor. You know what I mean? But as far as, like, a boxing, like.
Boxing.
It's like, you know, you're just going to keep on getting these big names that's at the top of the division fighting him, and it's either he wins and it helps him move up, or it's like, well, look, I knocked out one of the strongest punchers in the world for the boxer. Like, you know what I mean? That's the only thing I see happen. Unless he fully comes into boxing, takes a staple in the division, and then it's like, okay, you got to go through Francis Ngannou to be unified or be undisputed or something like that. But
yeah, that's the thing that was confusing me about the moves that I've been seeing with this Ngannou thing. I'm like, what is Ngannou trying to do here?
I don't know. Speaking of Joseph Parker, though, interesting fight against Zili Yang.
Yeah.
I personally, and y'all can mark me on this because I don't mind saying when I'm wrong, I think Joseph Parker's going to sleep. I've personally seen Zayn, like, up close.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joseph Parker bit off too much with this one. I know what he did with Deontay Wilder. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I give him his credit with that. He boxed beautifully. He threw bombs. He hit him. He had him rocked. But as far as this dude, this Yang dude, bro, you know how you could look in somebody's eyes and you could just tell, like, when it's me or you, it's got to be me or you. Yeah. It's not like I'm willing to give in for it to be. No, like he has that demeanor. Yeah, so that's why I say Joseph. I never seen Joseph Parker up close, so I'm not doubting him. I'm not taking up
for
him. But just personally, I feel like Joseph Parker might go to sleep. I know my boy Jared Anderson is about to fight.
Yeah, he got one in August there. No, he actually got one?
It's to be determined. Yeah. I think he fights April, I think it's April something. They just kind of announced it, but I don't know who his opponent is.
Yeah.
But Jared Anderson, he's an up and coming prospect, heavyweight. But everybody that's been in there with him will probably say that he probably belongs in the top 7 to 5 yeah. heavyweights because that young brother be coming with it. So give him his shouts out too.
Somebody
Bottle Jack, he's been around for a minute. Bottle Jack, cruiserweight's not really. I don't know. Oh yeah, we got that coming up. Yeah. That's a big one.
That's what I was about to say.
Arthur Benavidez, better be that. Sorry, pardon me. Versus Dmitry Bivol. Now, this right here is a war of attrition. That's what I'm going to say from the rip.
Yeah.
Because this guy right here is a machine. Like, I don't know too many guys that could throw over 1,000 punches in a fight mm-hmm. and not be breathing heavy,
yeah.
overly wow, sweating.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody who's been hit by him has said, like, they've never felt nothing of that type of power.
Yeah, so he got it. He definitely,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Bivol is the one who beat Canelo.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So,
his defensive prowess and his boxing IQ, if he can keep Bivol, I mean, if he can keep Benavidev off,
mm-hmm.
I think he can outbox him for 12 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has a lapse in defense,
yeah.
or if he starts to get on the ropes too much,
yeah. it's not gonna.
It might not fare too well. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's a fight that I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
I'm not really trying to give too much of a opinion on who's gonna win. I think it's gonna be a war.
That's
technically gonna be a war. You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna be a good fight.
Yeah. We're just gonna go with stuff that's announced. Then we got Canelo Alvarez is lining up, I think, to fight Jamal Charlo now after fighting his brother Jamel the last fight. Yeah, this is a good one. David Benavidez, he hasn't been announced yet.
David Morrell
is another person that is on he's on a tear. You know what I'm saying? 10-0, 9 knockouts.
Yeah, like
see what he coming with.
Yeah, he right on.
Hani Munguia, I brought him up before.
Yeah.
He just put John Ryder out back in January. I mean, John Ryder is the one that went the 12 rounds with Canelo with broken face.
Yeah, I remember that.
Hani Munguia put him out. Keyshawn Davis, that's what I wanted to talk about. Keyshawn Davis, great performance.
Mm.
Put Jose Pedraza out.
Mm.
Only other person to put Jose Pedraza out is Javante Tank Davis.
Mm, that's true.
Keyshawn Davis, he went in there massively. First couple rounds, you know, felt him out, got his timing. Then he applied the pressure and seen could he take his power. Once he seen he couldn't take his power,
mm-hmm.
he put it on. So, shouts out to you. I don't want to leave you out. It's so much boxing news that I could talk about. Chris Eubank Jr. Nothing's announced yet, so we're going to keep it moving. Tim Zhu versus Keith Thurman. That's another one.
Thank you,
brother.
You talked about that one too, actually. Last time
yeah.
you talked about it,
they was talking about it, but yeah. it wasn't locked in. That's locked in for March 30th, so that's not too far away. I personally feel like Keith Thurman gets stopped in the 7th round with a body shot. He's not known for being able to take body shots. Tim Zhu is a very hard puncher.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't see him being able to keep Tim Zhu off of him long enough to not be able to start touching him to the body.
Yeah, get that body.
And I think he breaks him down and gets rid of him. Sebastian Fandora, the Tower Inferno. That's the dude that, remember we watched a fight of him before. He's real tall, slender.
Yeah.
He actually lost his last fight. He got knocked out in the seventh round by Brian Mendoza.
Yeah.
But he's back March 30th, too, probably on the same card as the last fight I was just speaking about.
Yeah, that one that we were talking about.
So I'm interested to see how he comes back off of a loss. I know his sister just won a title because they both boxed. His sister just won a title in a very hard fight. So shouts out to her. Virgil Ortiz, he just scored a knockout.
Yeah, that was recently.
Yeah.
Earlier this year. We got all Friday, man.
We got Terrence Crawford still chasing Canelo, but I'm thinking he might get the winner of Tim Zhu and Keith Thurman at 154 after they go. Ron, who's in this? Does he have a fight?
I didn't see one.
Oh, matter of fact, I got some behind the scenes info on that. I believe he's about to fight Crawley in, I want to say April maybe. And if they don't make that happen first, they're going to try to put him against Barrios to save Crawley from Jerron Ennis. So they're playing switcheroo games. Because if you notice right here,
they're all right around
each other. They 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In the rankings. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to protect this guy. You know what I mean? If you notice what that is, then you know why they're trying to protect him. So it's like... You know, they want him to move up from
without,
these two. You know what I mean?
As
so,
fast as they can without having to take either.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the gist of that one.
Definitely, Barrios is definitely solid. You know what I'm saying? And I seen Ennis too. You put me on to both of them, actually. More than I actually caught them before.
Then we got a Jersey prospect. I think he's about 4 or 5 years pro now, maybe, or whatever. Raymond Ford out of Camden, New Jersey. Very good fighter, sound. He trains with, I believe, Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson is back from retirement. short retirement.
That's true.
It's rumors that he might fight this new kid that's coming up that's under De La Hoya, Floyd Schofield. Floyd Schofield, to me, is a problem. You know what I mean? I'm not saying... You know, him and Shakur, I don't know how him and Shakur match up. I got to really sit and look at it. Him just as a boxer, you know, training footage, him in the ring, you know, he's already suffered some adversity. He got headbutt real bad, got split. You know, he, you know, went into animal mode, finished dude off or whatever the case may be. He didn't panic or nothing like that. So, and I've heard stories about him in the gym and doing, you know, really handling his business and standing, his, you know, standing on business or whatever the case may be. So, I'm real interested in that fight, but I think Shakur told him if he beats somebody else, so they probably won't line up to fight maybe to like the end of the year. So I'm interested to see who Shakur comes back, being he's out of retirement. And the last thing I'll talk about is back to Keyshawn Davis knocking out Teofimo Lopez's father.
Oh.
You heard me right. I said his father. After beating Teofimo Lopez in sparring. Supposedly is the news in the boxing streets.
Yeah.
So, supposedly what happened, there was animosity after the sparring. There was names called. Keyshawn Davis happened to get to his father, and he knocked him out.
Oh.
As some people are calling it, separated him from consciousness. So, right now you have Keyshawn Davis, who has called out Teofimo Lopez at... an event. I mean, walked up in his face, nose to nose. Teofimo tried to walk around, have the New York police escort him around, saying, oh, Teo has to go. So everybody in the boxing world is in an uproar because it's now been put out by Shakur Stevenson, who tweeted it because nobody else knew about it. So it's now out that he knocked his father out, and he's now persistently calling you out, and you keep finding ways around him. So everybody want to know, where is Teofimo's heart? So I got a question, Mr. Lopez, if you happen to see this, or you somebody you know see this and send it to you, how do you continue on in the sport of boxing with another man that you can make millions with that put his hands on your father and not take the fight? You as a man have to take that fight. And I'm going to leave it at that. So that's the end of boxing news.
Yeah, I'm telling you, hey, it's going to be a tight one. We're going to come back. We got definitely a couple of things coming up before the draft and all that. So we're going to try to get a couple more episodes in. But we're going to figure out to keep some more weekly and daily content and coming in for you guys. So definitely look out for that. Easy access on the IG for any questions or anything. Let us know, man.
Definitely.
It's the Heat Zone, man.
Just make sure y'all stay in tune. Yeah. We appreciate y'all. Stay blessed. Keep your hands up.
For real.